Chapter 40. The word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive from Jerusalem and Judea, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. Now, again, I say we can see that at this time, Jeremiah and all of these were still in chains. So they were taken from the court of the prison unto Ramah. Just like everybody else, he was treated no different than everybody else at this point. Taken up there. See, chapter 39 doesn't tell us that. Now, this takes place historically in 2 Kings 25, and you can read all that yourself. Now, in this chapter, most of the next four chapters, we'll put that away, are more historical, especially chapters 40 through 42:7. You can see a change in 42 verse 7. So these first verses are all history. Notice how it starts off in verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Now, we don't read of this word until we get to chapter 42, what the word that came to Jeremiah. But he goes back and picks up the history on this of why God had spoken again to him. That makes sense? All right. So after, this little word after, following this act, we could read it that way. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord following the history that we're about to read. After that, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, let him go from Ramah. When he, Jeremiah, had been taken, the captain, had taken Jeremiah, being bound in chains among all that were carried, in the same time, right in the midst of them, and were carried away captive from Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah. The language here would kind of sound like he took him aside, away from all the other captives of Jerusalem and Judah. He took Jeremiah and said unto him, "The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it, and done according as he hath said, because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, these things have come upon you." Now this was a kind of a private talk, and it was simply a fact. The people of Babylon had many gods, not just one God, but lots of gods. So the Lord, Jehovah, would just been to them another God. But they were identified with Judah and Jerusalem. So he says, "The Lord thy God," he doesn't say my God, but "thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place." And he recognized this fact, that this was an act of God, because they had sinned. All the word "ye" here refers to all the Jews have sinned against the Lord. How did they sin? By not obeying his voice. And this is the reason these things are come upon you. So even the heathen knows and testifies against the Jews. When I was young, people laughed at the Jews because everything was just outward. They would go through a lot of motions of religion, and yet they would cheat you. You couldn't trust one as far as you could throw an elephant. But even the heathen can testify what God has done and what he's going to do. Now, again, I want us to realize that Jeremiah is a picture of the Jewish remnant. during the tribulation, during the captivity. And so in verse 4, it said, "Now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains." He knew Jeremiah was different. Even though he used the pronoun, first person pronoun, ye, and you. And we see the same thing in the 9th chapter of Daniel, where Daniel prayed to God, and he said, "We have sinned," identifying himself with the whole nation. And so Jeremiah was identified with the nation, but they saw he was different than anything else. I think this is wonderful for us. We might be identified with this world, but let the world see that we're different than they are. And if we're no different than they are, then they're not going to treat us any different than they would. But God will take care of us even while we're in this world if we yield our life to him. So he said, "And now, at this time, you take knowledge of what I'm going to do. Behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thy hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seems ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Neither seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, go." Thither go. And so Jeremiah was given a choice here. They were simply going to take the chains off his hand and set him free. And he could do anything that he wanted to do. But the captain of the guard tried to talk him into going to Babylon with him. And as we go down through here, it sure intimates that he would take care of him and help him and probably make a big man out of him financially and every other way, because Nebuchadnezzar liked his preaching, because his preaching was yielded to Nebuchadnezzar. And he could have taken him to Babylon, no doubt, as we read down through here, and made him a powerful man out of it. So he says, "If it seems ill unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, then this is all right. You don't have to. Behold, the land is before thee. This is your choice. Whether it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, then you go. Either go with me or go the other way, whichever is right." Verse 5, "Now while he was not yet gone back," in other words, he hadn't made the decision yet. Probably he wanted to talk to God about it first before he made a decision. Who knows, maybe God wanted him to go to Babylon. Maybe he had a job there for him to do. Who knows? So while he was not yet gone back, he hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't gone either way. Then the captain of the guard said, "Go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people. Or," here's the other choice, "or go wheresoever seemeth convenient to thee to go." So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and reward, and let him go, whatever he so chose. Whatever he wanted, he could do. It was all his choice. And it would have been much better for Jeremiah to choose to go to Babylon for him. But because he loved the Lord and wanted the will of God, he made another choice, to remain with the people of God. Moses made such a choice, didn't he? He was willing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This would be a hard choice for anyone to make. Do I want this or don't I want this? I remember, I give a personal testimony. I remember one time I turned down a very good promotion, but I had been out of town. And it was either make more money or preach the gospel. It was a choice I had to make. I had another choice later on, many, many years later than this. And when God told me to quit my job, I'm sure if I hadn't have, I'd have been replaced. But many times God gives us choices, and we pray and make the best choice. And I think it's better to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Notice in verse 6, then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Notice the last of verse 5. We didn't touch on that. The guard, the captain of the guard, gave him food and a reward. Now, the word reward here has a thought in the Hebrew, has a thought of lifting something up. And I feel that what he's talking about is a raise in fame, a higher place. And so in order to get this, he was sent to the governor's house. And this is what we read in the 39th chapter. He went there and he dwelt, right, in the governor's mansion. Now this was not at Jerusalem, because that was all torn down. The king's house had already been burned, and all the fancy homes had been destroyed in Jerusalem. But this was in Mizpah, the dwelling place for Gedaliah. Another thing that we notice here is he was a son of Ahikam, and Alan, look up Jeremiah 26, 14, and Ahikam was a friend of Jeremiah even back in that time. So Gedaliah's dad was a friend of Jeremiah many years before this. So it wasn't probably too hard for him to move right in and be a part of that. But I like this phrase, dwelling with him. But he was also dwelling among the people. And all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even the men, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed to him men and women and children and the poor of the land and them that were not carried away unto Babylon. Now this starts off of a little different thought here, and Jeremiah is kind of left out of this part of history for a little bit. God didn't use Jeremiah here, but he used another man, which we'll see later on. So everything, in verse 7, we think everything leveled off, everything became peaceful. Gedaliah become the governor of the land, and it was the problems and war just kind of settled down at this time. So the captains of the forces which were in the field, it simply means that they were Jewish captains that had fled and hid themselves, like David did, in dens and places wherever they could find. The thought in the field could be translated to deserted places or wherever they could hide. Well, they came out of hiding, and they came to Gedaliah in verse 8, and they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and then it gives their names down through here. I'm not going to go into the meanings of these names, the first one is Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the son of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tanhumeth, the sons, plural, of Ephi, the Zephtrophathite, and Jezaniah, the son of Maachathi, they and their men. So all of these men came. Now this is a little different than we have in 2 Kings 25. In the word Johanan is omitted, I believe, in 2 Kings 25. I think it's verse 23. It gives this list of men. And also the sons of Ephi is omitted there too. So I believe in 2 Kings 25:23, there's only four men that is mentioned there. where here we have more than that, and sons being plural would be, we don't know how many. But all of these, wherever they were, came up from their hiding places and came to Zedaliah, the son of Jehoiakim, verse 9, and he swore unto them, unto these men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans, dwell in the land, and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Now, here he's simply agreeing with Jeremiah. Greg, look up Jeremiah 27:10-12. And this was a sermon that Jeremiah had been preaching all along, to give up, yield to the hand of the king of Babylon, and God will take care of you. This is simply a judgment of God and everything. And so Zedaliah is saying the same thing here. You find it? And so here, Gedaliah is saying the same thing. Gedaliah was a good man. His father was a good man, and his grandfather was a good man. His grandfather served under Josiah. And so these were men that really knew the Lord. So he told them, he said, now, I know that you were in the army, and I'm paraphrasing this, know that you were leaders in the army, but now things are different, and we've got to submit to the Chaldeans. It's as simple as that. And then in verse 10, he says, and for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But you gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessel, and dwell in your cities that you have taken or come to live in. Now, he said, I've got a different position than you do. You're free. You can do what you want to. See, and Zedekiah couldn't do what he wanted to. He was bound to serve the king of Babylon. And so they could do what they wanted to. And God would bless them as long as they were submissive. And they could have their wine and their food and oil and dwell in the cities and be at peace. So then in verse 11, likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Amorites and the Edomites and in Edom and that were in the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah and that they had set over them Gedaliah the son of Jehoiakim, the son of Shaphan. Then even all the Jews returned out of the places whither they had driven, and came into the land of Judah to Gedaliah and Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Now, this act of the fact that they had fled Judah and Benjamin, and had gone into Moab, Ammon, and Edom, and became servants there. They settled down there. But then when they heard that everything was peaceful back home, they picked up and went back. Well, the king of the Amorites didn't like this. It was a great loss for him. Sounds a little bit like when he left Egypt, doesn't it? He didn't want them to go. So they decided to do something about it. I think we ought to take a break here, and we'll start with verse 13 again. Verse 13 changes the thought now. Notice the word moreover, or in addition to what we've read concerning the return of these to the area. Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the captains of the force that were in the fields, when we had their names before, came into Gedaliah to Mizpah and said unto him, dost thou certainly know that Balas, the king of the Amorites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? But Zedaliah, the son of Jehoiakim, believed them not. Now, I think in this we have a picture of, Gedaliah, he's a type of the Jewish remnant that will die during the tribulation period, that will be slain by the Antichrist. Ishmael here pictures the leaders, Jewish leaders in the last days that will be joined to the Antichrist. Notice the word Baalis. You leave the IS off, you have Baal. And so the word Baal is a god, meaning a lord, or a supremacy. And so his name means the Lord of the Banner. Well, he here typifies the Antichrist that will be a descendant some way back. You see, Amram was the son of Lot, which was a nephew of Abram. So in this way, they're kin to the Jews. I feel that the Antichrist will be a Jew that will be identified with the Gentiles. And so this is fairly parallel with that thought in here. Anyway, he said Ishmael, it has a twofold meaning. God will hear, I think, is one, and the other is a wild ass, is the other meaning, I believe. But he represents, like Judas, one who would be there and yet be different. And we'll see the thought of that in the next chapter. But Gedaliah was warned concerning this fact, but he didn't believe him. And then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spake to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly, or called him aside and talked to him, saying, "Let me go, I pray thee, and I'll slay Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore he shall slay thee, or before he slays you, let's jump to the head of him and kill him before he kills you. And all the Jews which are scattered and gathered into thee should be scattered, and a remnant in Judah." Now, in this way, Johanan, I get that pretty good, pretty soon, he represents a prophet of God. I question the fact that where is Jeremiah at this time? He isn't even mentioned here as being a part of this, but God is going to use people to warn his people that are in danger. The word Johanan, his name means Jehovah Jonanan. I'm sorry, Jonanan is the way you pronounce it. His name is Jehovah is a gracious giver. So he represents those that will give of themselves during that time. His father, Kareah, his name means a ground floor or bald like a where there's nothing growing, nothing there. It could be translated to bald head, but in this case, it isn't that. It's something that is level and solid and without anything on it. So this is good people. They represent good people during that time. Listen to the things of the Lord. But the only problem here is Gedaliah didn't listen. And not only did he didn't listen, but he didn't pray and he didn't ask God about it. And you know, this is a dangerous thing. We're living in a dangerous time. This is an evil time that we're living in today. I was just reading, what paper was it this week, where the crime, teenage crime, is increasing rapidly. And we're living in a terrible time. And we need to talk to God about our life and where we should go and where we should do. If he'd have done that, God would reveal the same thing to him that he revealed to Jonathan. But, verse 16, we read that Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said unto Jonathan, the son of Kareah, "Thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely of Ishmael." Now he had the wool pulled over his eye, didn't he? And one thing I think we could learn in this too is don't ever trust the arm of flesh, especially religious flesh. This is what he did. You see, Ishmael was one of them that came up with all the rest of them. See? In the previous, or earlier than this. In fact, his name was first mentioned in verse 8. So I imagine that's the reason that Gedaliah didn't think there was anything wrong, because they all came up as a group. But he had sold out to the enemy. And I say he pictures the last day leaders of Israel who will join to the Antichrist.